thank you for joining us.
Now, leave or face death. This is yet another warning the Israeli military has issued to residents living in the northern part of the besieged Gaza Strip. The warning comes as hundreds of thousands of Gazans have already moved southward to take refuge in temporary shelters. However, the areas they have fled to are also being hit by Israeli warplanes and artillery. More than 4,700 Palestinians have been killed since the regime launched this onslaught on Gaza over 2 weeks ago. More than 16,000 people have been wounded. According to the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, known as UNRWA, it has also lost at least 29 of its staff in Israeli bombardments. In the meantime, the Israeli military said one of its tanks had accidentally fired at an Egyptian post near the border with Gaza. Israeli warplanes have rained down bombs in areas around three hospitals in Gaza, adding to the immense strain on medical facilities in the besieged territory. According to Palestinian media reports, Israeli missiles hit the vicinity of Al-Shifa and Al-Quds hospitals in Gaza City. The strike also hit near Indonesia Hospital in northern Gaza, and its director reported injuries and severe damage to the complex. But there were no immediate reports of possible destruction and injuries near the two other hospitals. On Saturday, Israel ordered 20 hospitals in Gaza, including Al-Quds, to evacuate. The regime is facing a chorus of condemnation from around the world over its bombardment of Al-Ahli Hospital on Tuesday. Nearly 500 people, including those who had taken refuge from Israel's assaults, were killed in the strike. Korea Ria Goda is with the Foundation of Iraqi Trade Unions. She tells us about the need for solidarity with Palestinians amid Israel's onslaught on Gaza and normalization deals between some Arab states and the regime. Let's take a listen.
Right now, the people of Gaza and the children of Gaza are dying, and the world is quiet. Even some of the Arab countries that pretend to be concerned for the future of Jerusalem and its liberation, they are now normalizing with Israel. This thing, the normalization, which is humiliating and frightening because the people of Palestine is in need of total solidarity and support, and a firm stand of every Arab and all free people of the world. We are embroiled with them in the struggle, even though we are from far-off lands geographically. We continue our struggle with them in order to prepare and mobilize the Arab public opinion and international public opinion in order to assist and support and stand firmly with the struggle of the Palestinian people. And now I believe that the Iraqi people will spare nothing, will not hold back to be with their Palestinian people in solidarity. And in fact, some youth have all the determination to go to Palestine in order to help their people in Gaza.
Israel says one of its troops was killed and three others were injured during a raid into the Gaza Strip. The Israeli military spokesman says the raid was carried out as part of preparation for a ground attack and to gather intelligence. Earlier, the military wing of the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas said it had ambushed an Israeli armored unit that had trespassed a few meters into the territory. The Al-Qassam Brigade added that two Israeli bulldozers and a tank were destroyed and the forces retreated back across a separation fence. Hamas has warned that Gaza will turn into a graveyard for invaders. The resistance movement has also been firing thousands of missiles into Israel. Since the beginning of the Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, at least 1,500 Israelis have been killed and nearly 5,000 injured. Israel is also escalating its atrocities in the West Bank while continuing its relentless bombardment of the Gaza Strip. The regime's forces have killed two more Palestinians in the occupied territory. 17-year-old Jihad Saleh and Mohammed Abu Zer, aged 29, were fatally shot during an Israeli raid on the town of Zawata, west of Nablus. Two other Palestinians were injured by the regime's live bullets. Earlier, another young Palestinian was killed by Israeli troops near a refugee camp north of Al-Khalil. Since the start of Israel's bloody war on Gaza, 93 Palestinians have been killed and some 1,400 others injured in the West Bank. Iran's president has dismissed U.S. President Joe Biden's pro-Israel remarks as reactionary, anti-democratic, and inhuman. Addressing a cabinet session, Ebrahim Raisi said Biden's recent statement amounts to Washington's unwanted confession that the Israeli regime is a fake one. Biden had said recently that if there were not an Israel, the U.S. would have would have to invent one. President Raisi then touched upon the unprecedented global outrage and fury against the heinous crimes being committed by the Tel Aviv regime in Gaza. He slammed the international community for remaining tight-lipped in the face of the Israeli massacre of Palestinians with the backing of US. He added that the Israeli crimes against Palestinians are a glaring example of war crimes and crimes against humanity. South Africa's Foreign Minister Naledi Pandor is in Tehran upon an official invitation by her Iranian counterpart Hossein Amir Abdollahian. During a meeting in Tehran on Sunday, the top diplomats discussed issues of mutual interest as well as the recent developments in West Asia. Gisumish Ahmadi has the details.
Heading a high-ranking delegation, South Africa's foreign minister arrived in the Iranian capital, Tehran, to hold talks with high-ranking Iranian officials. First stop, Iran's foreign ministry. The two sides sat down for talks. The foreign ministers emphasized on expanding bilateral relations and discussed preparations for President Ebrahim Raisi's upcoming visit to South Africa. But most importantly, they focused on cooperation in the framework of BRICS.
As BRICS members, we need to do much more to have dynamic, concrete attention to reform of the mechanisms of the United Nations, most particularly the UN Security Council, which we as BRICS members believe is undemocratic in practice and not representative in composition. Thus, UNSC reform is an important agenda item on the business of BRICS.
A stance that was echoed by Iran's foreign minister, who cited the inaction of the UNSC in the face of the U.S.'s blatant support for Israel in its incessant attacks on Gaza.
I would like to warn the U.S. and its proxy, Israel, if the war crimes and crimes against humanity in Gaza is not stopped, any possibility at any moment is imaginable, and the region will get spiral out of control, and the warmongers will be the ones who will suffer.
This with the South African diplomat also on the same page, expressing strong support for Palestine.
It is sad that many countries in the region in which Palestine exists had essentially deserted the people of Palestine. But I think they can see today why countries like South Africa have been consistent in their support for Palestine and have never deviated from the belief President Mandela held that until the people of Palestine are free, South Africa will not be fully free.
A clear sign that this support is more than just rhetoric, and both Iran and South Africa are prepared to take it to the next level. Both Iran and South Africa are clear regarding their stance in condemning the Israeli regime's atrocities in the occupied territories and their full support for the Palestinian nation fighting for freedom. Gisumish Ahmadi, Tehran.
Iran's foreign minister says Israel's ultimate goal is the forced displacement of Palestinians from the besieged Gaza Strip and the occupied West Bank to Egypt's Sinai Peninsula and parts of Jordan. Hossein Amir Abdollahian said Tel Aviv wants the Palestinian government to be formed outside of Palestinians' ancestral lands. However, he added that resistance groups are the main obstacle to the regime's intended plot. The Iranian foreign minister made the remarks during a phone call with his Egyptian counterpart. He said the Iranian Red Crescent Society is ready to send food and medicine to Gaza through Egypt. Amir Abdollahian has also sent a letter to Vatican's foreign minister detailing Israel's atrocities and crimes against Palestinians. In the letter, he said the occupied Palestinian territories are witnessing a new version of barbarism. The top Iranian diplomat underlined that Israel is enforcing systematic apartheid not only on Muslims, but on the followers of all Abrahamic religions, including Christians. and pro-Palestinian rallies have been held across the world to demand an end to the bloodshed in Gaza amid the regime's brutal aggression against the besieged territory. In Brussels, thousands of people held a protest by gathering outside the EU Commission and the Council's headquarters. They chanted Free Palestine, holding banners and waving Palestinian flags. Similar gatherings were held in France and Germany in defiance of a governmental crackdown on such protests under the pretext of preventing anti-Semitism. Sporadic scuffles broke out during those protests in Berlin. Similar protests were held in Denmark, Poland, and other parts of the globe. On Saturday, tens of thousands of pro-Palestinian demonstrators marched through a rainy London to demand Israel stop its bombardment of Gaza.
Nearly 10,000 people in Paris held an intense rally demanding a halt to Israel's massacres in Gaza and that their politicians diplomatically work towards an immediate ceasefire. France's anti-Palestinian stance has worsened under President Emmanuel Macron, who has refused to put pressure on Israel to reduce their atrocities while fanning the flames of Islamophobia and constantly manipulating a so-called war on terror.
Macron is for the bourgeoisie and not for his own people. He certainly doesn't listen to the working class, who doesn't have any problem with the Jews, but who will not tolerate Zionism and their repeated massacres of Palestinians.
Macron's effort for a blanket ban on all pro-Palestinian demonstrations was legally rejected, but banning protests on a case-by-case method was approved. This was the first legal demonstration since the unrest began, allowing the average Parisian to express their solidarity with Palestine without fear of arrest or police brutality.
We see how calm this demonstration is. So the banning of pro-Palestinian marches on the pretext that they will cause violence or disorder is totally false. How can one be against the right to freedom of expression? And especially when all they are expressing is a call to peace.
In a sign of how far to the right the nation's political class has shifted, the left-leaning coalition in French Parliament seems to be definitively fractured after the Socialist and Green parties suspended their participation in order to support Israel even more.
We can't consider any organization to be leftist or supportive of the average worker if they support the Israeli regime and Macron's anti-Palestinian policies. So the break these political parties have decided upon isn't surprising at all, and they won't be missed.
Pro-Palestinian rallies continue to be banned elsewhere nationwide, exposing France to more accusations of hypocrisy regarding their constant claim to defend the freedom of speech. France's public support for Palestine is really only just getting started, but there continues to be a massive outpouring of support worldwide, fueled by unprecedented coverage of Israeli atrocities in social media and alternative media, and by what many see as the hypocritical and biased stances of Western governments. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
We have tried to suppress the voice of the Palestinians. Common catchphrases, all-out support for Israel, unwavering support, and the likes. But finally, the world is not buying it. No amount of media coverage can cover up the Israeli crimes, including America's all-out support. And the proof that the tide is turning are in the worldwide protests.
We are here just to show the support for our people in Gaza.
What we're experiencing today, it's happening in Palestine, is a genocide.
I'm here because I'm a Jew born in Jerusalem, and I'm horrified and enraged that my government here in the U.S. is sending weapons and money and never-ending, unconditional diplomatic support for Israel.
The world rallying behind Palestinians and Palestine. And it's not because Israel is murdering Palestinians, mostly women and children. Just think about it. How can this war bring out so many people from all corners of the world in such high numbers? It's because the world has been educated. It's informed now. It has witnessed four wars before. And it has seen the daily oppression and killing of Palestinians under an apartheid regime. Now U.S. politicians are speaking, in a way that they haven't before.
Congresswoman representing the Massachusetts 7th Congressional District.
Where is your humanity? How do you look at one atrocity and say this is wrong? But you watch as bodies pile up, as neighborhoods are leveled. Israel has dropped more bombs in the last 10 days than we dropped in a whole year in Afghanistan. Where is your humanity? Where is your outrage? Where is your care?
The passion in her voice from an American politician is for life and how it's being snuffed out, taken away with a missile, ones that are made in the USA. Since the war started, 45 cargo planes transported weapons from the U.S. to Israel. Among the military aid, around 1,000 tons of armaments, including 155-millimeter artillery shells, military vehicles, and supplies.
And with that, we come to the end of this bulletin. Thank you for being with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Worldwide demonstrations have taken place in support of the Palestinian people and their cause. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. People in Muslim-majority countries held protests to show their support for Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, demanding freedom for Palestine and an urgent end to the brutal Israeli air raids on Gaza. People in various countries, such as the Islamic Republic of Iran, Egypt, Malaysia, Jordan, Iraq, Lebanon, Turkey, Syria, Yemen, and Qatar, held demonstrations on Friday, 20th of October, to slam Israeli crimes in Gaza, where the occupation air raids have already claimed the lives of more than 4,000 Palestinians. People in the Iranian capital Tehran gathered at Palestine Square in their thousands to voice their support for Palestine. Demonstrators held banners in condemnation of Israeli crimes and the regime's supporters in the West. They also called for the liberation of the Palestinian lands and displayed the photos of General Qasem Soleimani, a top anti-terror commander who was assassinated by the United States in January of 2020. I'm here to send this message to Israel that the Gaza Strip is not alone and we are standing beside the innocent Palestinian people, one of the participants in the Tehran rally told the Mehr news agency. Multiple cities across Iran also witnessed pro-Palestinian demonstrations following Friday prayers on 20th of October. Tens of thousands of people took to the streets in the Egyptian capital Cairo and other main cities across the country, demanding the opening of the Rafah border crossing to allow aid for the Palestinians of Gaza, who have been under Israel's total siege and bombardment for 14 days. Several thousand people gathered in Cairo's Tahrir Square, despite a heavy deployment of security forces, calling for Israel to stop its bombardment of the Gaza Strip, one of the most densely populated areas of the world. Demonstrators were demanding the opening of the Rafah border crossing on the Egypt-Gaza border to allow aid into Gaza. The crossing is currently the only gateway to Gaza, which has been under siege by the Israeli regime. The Israeli regime bombed the crossing at least 5 times since it launched its war on Gaza on 7th of October, on both the Egyptian and the Palestinian sides. The latest attack was on Friday, 20th of October, on the Gaza side. "We want the border to be opened immediately so aid can reach people in Gaza," said one of the protesters. "God is alive, the voice of the people is still alive, and the voice of the resistance is still alive." People were also chanting slogans against the government of Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, demanding the closure of the Israeli embassy in Cairo and the expulsion of Israeli diplomats. "Resistance is the solution," people chanted. "The people want the fall of the Israeli regime." Demonstrators also chanted slogans invoking Arab armies to act. Several countries and aid organizations have been sending cargo planes and trucks to the Rafah border crossing for days, but none has been allowed to get through. The border crossing was due to open on Friday, 20th October, but that did not happen. In Jordan, thousands of people marched in the capital Amman and elsewhere around the country, chanting slogans in support of Palestinians and Hamas. Some 2,500 people gathered on a highway in Amman, the capital of Jordan, on their way to the border with the occupied West Bank. Police blocked the roads leading to the border to prevent people from heading towards the occupied Palestinian territories. Protesters were calling on the authorities to allow them to join the fight alongside the Hamas resistance group. Several thousand people also gathered near the Israeli embassy in Amman, Jordan, chanting slogans against Israel. "No Jewish embassy on Arab land," protesters chanted. Jordan's riot police block roads leading to the fortified Israeli embassy complex to keep back the demonstrators. Thousand-strong demonstrations have taken place in Yemen. Huge protests took place in the Yemeni capital Sana'a and other governorates to express their anger and condemnation of the Israeli massacre of Palestinians in Gaza. The protesters waved Palestinian flags and signs that supported the Palestinians' right to defend their homeland, dignity, and Islamic holy places. The protesters also chanted slogans that showed their strong support for the Palestinian people and their resistance, and their readiness to sacrifice everything to liberate Palestine and the occupied city of Al-Quds. Hundreds of people also demonstrated against Israel in the occupied West Bank city of Ramallah on Friday, 20th of October. The rally came only one day after Israeli forces raided and carried out an airstrike on a Palestinian refugee camp in the territory, killing at least 12 people. Turkey, which has declared 3 days of national mourning for Gaza, saw thousands of people protesting against Israel's atrocities in Gaza outside mosques in Istanbul and Ankara after Friday prayers on Friday, 20th of October. The protesters in Istanbul showed their solidarity with the Palestinians by waving Turkish and Palestinian flags. Some of the signs read, "Stop the genocide," and "Murderer Israel, get out of Palestine." To protest the hospital blast, a group of men wore doctors' uniforms stained with red and carried dolls that looked like dead babies. Some of the protesters also burned an effigy of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Angry protesters have been held across the Muslim world since the Israeli regime martyred hundreds of Palestinians at a hospital in Gaza on Tuesday, 17th of October. Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story. Protesters from Jakarta to Tunis have taken to the streets to demand an end to Israel's bombardment of the Gaza Strip after nearly 2 weeks of intense air and artillery attacks that Palestinian authorities say have killed at least 4,100 Palestinians. Some Western governments have voiced support for Israel's military campaign, which has come after the Palestinian resistance group Hamas killed more than 1,400 people in an attack on southern Israel, according to Israeli authorities. Some Muslim countries have called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza, with many of their people angry at humanitarian conditions in the besieged territory and expressing solidarity with the Palestinians. An estimated 6,000 people took to the streets in Amman, Jordan, to protest against the continuing attack on Gaza, some chanting slogans calling for the resistance group Hamas to intensify its attacks against Israel. Hundreds of protesters in Iraq gathered at the Western Tribal border crossing near Jordan in a demonstration organized by the Coordination Framework. Thousands of Egyptians demonstrated in cities and towns across the North African country in an expression of solidarity with the Palestinians and the besieged Gaza Strip. In Turkey, where the government has declared 3 days of mourning for Gaza, thousands of people staged protests outside mosques following Friday prayers in Istanbul and the capital Ankara. People of different nationalities gathered at Imam Mohammed bin Abdul Wahhab Mosque in Doha, Qatar, to express solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza and protest against the Israeli assault on the territory. After Friday prayers on Friday, 20th of October, they waved flags, carried banners and shouted slogans calling for a free Palestine. Palestinian demonstrator Yusuf Kiblawi, a 49-year-old who is a manager at an oil and gas company in Qatar, said, "We are here today against the atrocities done by the Zionists in Gaza and elsewhere in occupied Palestine. They're doing it since 1948. They kicked us out at that time, and now they're trying to do the same again in Gaza." French newspaper Le Monde has also covered this same story. Demonstrators in support of the Palestinians of Gaza and condemning Israel's bombardment of the besieged enclave were held across the Arab world on Friday, 20th of October, including in countries that have normalized their relations with the Israeli regime. In Egypt, where public gatherings were banned after the military seized power in 2013, tens of thousands of Egyptians took to the streets of Cairo and other cities as authorities sought to manage the wave of public anger. The protest came on day 14 of Israel's retaliation for a shock Hamas attack, the deadliest in Israel's 75-year history. In Cairo, Egypt, several thousand people packed into Cairo's Tahrir Square, the epicenter of the 2011 uprising that toppled the longtime autocrat Hosni Mubarak, an Agence France-Presse correspondent reported. "The Egyptian people want to see the fall of the Israeli regime," the demonstrators chanted, adapting the Arab Spring catchphrase, "The people want the regime to fall."
Food for thought.
Hello everyone. Let us ponder on what the Holy Prophet's 11th infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, has bequeathed us of his wonderful sayings. "Avoid begging people as long as you can endure, for every day has a new goodness. Insisting on asking others deprives one of his dignity, except when a door may be opened to you for a good entrance."
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Reformation of the Mind. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we would like to delve a little bit deeper into the topic of reformation of the mind. We said reformation, which is a very famous and popular trend in the society nowadays, it is not necessarily confined to our actions. It has to do with our mindset. So reformation of mind comes before we start to see the change in an individual or the society. Whatever change and reformation we bring about in ourselves for the sake of this dunya is limited in scope, and we will slowly start to lose its effectiveness. The only way to bring about a permanent and effective transformation is to base this transformation on the will of Allah and for the sake of Allah. Reformation of the mind and actions for Allah and others, you know, combined when we kind of give them two different portions, it's a form of shirk. Allah says in the Holy Quran, chapter 18, verse number 110, whoever hopes to meet his Lord, he should do good deeds and not join anyone in the service of his Lord. You know, sometimes we do things with dual motives. This is what Quran is stopping us from. Do not join anyone in service of his Lord. Try to do it purely for Allah's sake only. You may even wonder, is it even doable? Well, the answer is yes. Allah says in the Holy Quran, chapter 2, verse number 207, and among men is he who sells himself to seek the pleasure of Allah, and Allah is affectionate to his servants. We look towards Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. They are the prime example and the manifestation of this verse. Then you look at the shuhada and the martyrs of Islam. They've all managed to do it one way or the other. So this is a source of appreciation and encouragement for us to tread that path. Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are discussing the reformation of the mind, and we said that the actions, the good actions, the reformed actions are the outcome of the reformation of the mind. Once our mind is reformed, our actions will follow. Now, when we reform ourselves, we said that the sincere obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the criteria. Without that, there is no true reformation taking place. And having partners with Allah is a form of shirk. So not making partners with Allah is difficult, but doable. At times, we think we're smart. We can hide our intentions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. we forget that He is all-knowing. Dear listeners, remember, Allah sees what you do. Allah says in the Holy Quran and the parable of those who spend their property to seek the pleasure of Allah and for the certainty of their soul is as the parable of a garden on an elevated ground upon which heavy rain falls. So it brings its fruit twofold. But if heavy rain does not fall upon it, then light rain is sufficient. And Allah sees what you do. Allah is very explicit. Every single thing that you do, Allah sees it. Let me take it to the next level. Every single thing that you think, Allah is informed about it. Every single thing that is in our hearts, Allah is the knower of it. So brothers and sisters, the true reformation calls for the reformation of mind, heart, and soul. Without associating any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this process, if done properly for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it guarantees our dunya and akhirah, this world and the hereafter. So let's, inshallah, together try to make it happen.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
The occupation army for killing children.
Part 2.
بعد تزحف صليت.
Badly wounded, I crawled until I reached help. Someone laid me on the ground and left to bring an ambulance. They wrapped my head in a bandage and laid me down. I was in a coma, so at the time I didn't know who was killed and who was still alive.
أنا كنت سايف في الغلبوبة. ما عرفتش مين ميت.
They laid Montasim by a wall, thinking he was dead. Hamas fainted. Yunus sat next to his brother, and I was weeping over my brother and cousins.
This other boy was with them. He came over yelling, "Mama, Mama." I said to him, "What's the matter?" He said, "Muhammad was martyred." I said, "How come Muhammad was martyred? Are you sure? You must be lying because Muhammad was here just now." He said that Muhammad was killed. I said he wasn't. But then I saw it air on TV, children killed on the beach. The girls cried. "He was our son of 20 years. We cry over you every day, son. You are never out of our thoughts."
Each day since the day Ismail was martyred, I have gone to the beach to spot where he was killed, and I've searched for his remains, hoping the sea had washed them up. I remembered that day vividly. When I reached the hospital, I realized what I had witnessed, the massacre against humanity. Where is the humanity? Ismail's senseless murder has forever taken the smile and joy from my home.
Zakaria, Ahid and Mutasim, who was injured but thought to be dead. Ismail and all of our kids were dead. I would not wish this on anyone. Everyone saw us on TVs and internet. What can I possibly say? I say occupation took my first grandson, who called me grandma.
The survivors of that tragic day come back to the beach, not to play as they did before, but to sit, to remember, vainly searching for a rational reason to an irrational act. It was a blatant war crime, which claimed the lives of their four relatives, with no one thus far held accountable. Meanwhile, they suffer from physical injuries themselves and the psychological trauma of it all.
Life without them is meaningless and full of despair. I'm not saying that because they are my brothers, but for the sake of all Palestinians, all of children. If I was flying a jet and I saw Jewish children playing, I wouldn't target them because they are just children playing. They could see from after that we were children.
They could tell we were a bunch of kids playing. They deliberately target and kill the children of Gaza and Palestine. They want to uproot them at a young age so they won't grow up and become resistors. So they bomb them at this young age.
Incredibly, shockingly, the targeting of Palestinian children escalated and peaked on the day of Eid al-Fitr, when the children of Gaza came out to play, to lighten up, relax, and have some fun to celebrate the last day of Eid, thinking that the Israeli army would not dare to violate such a holy occasion. Israel unmercifully sent missiles down, turning their brief period of joy to incomprehensible grief.
We live in Al-Ahrar Street at the beach camp, a major street in the camp area. We awoke on the day of Eid to enjoy it like everyone else normally does. The children were playing in the street, some were playing on the swings. All of a sudden, a missile landed on top of us. It was around 3 p.m. We were surprised by the explosion, but when we turned around, we saw the children had become shreds of flesh laying in the street. Some were injured and some others were dead.
I was playing on the swings when the missile landed. I got hit with shrapnel here. Some people were killed. My uncle Shaban, Jamal, and Muhammad were among those who died. I remember we were happy and playing on the day of Eid. Who could be so wicked as to bomb us on such a holy day? The children were out playing and rejoicing. And then the missile came, and in a second they were dead. Shaban had been blown apart. Others who died were Muhammad Al-Halou, the Barid family's son, Muhammad Miqdad, and Muhammad Washah.
Muhammad Miqdad, Muhammad Washah. كان في كتير شهداء مرميين.
There were many martyrs, some scattered around on the ground, inside buildings, in trees, everywhere. The injured and the dead. Ambulances and cars swarmed on the location, and people were crying out in anguish for the loss of their children. 13 martyrs and 40 to 50 injuries. I sustained injuries to my leg here. And in my chest here. My grandfather took my cousin and I to the ambulance.
My son was playing behind the car. He was almost next to me, but he died due to bleeding caused by a shrapnel penetrating his body. When the missile first landed, I was still conscious, receiving wounds to my stomach, legs, and arms. My leg disabled and my arm was broken and behind my back. I wore a white top which was covered in blood. I looked around just before I fainted to see the extent of the brutality and carnage. The scene was horrific, their actions so brutal.
Martyrs came from several refugee families at the beach camp. on the first day of Eid after being targeted by an Israeli bombing campaign. On the third day of Eid, missiles of the Israeli occupation forces targeted some little kids who were playing with their grandfather with some simple new toys they had received for Eid on the roof of their home.
A truce was declared on television on the third day of Eid. We went up on the roof with all the little children. They wanted to play because it was a time of truce. They were not allowed to go out in the street because we worried about their safety.
After 30 to 45 minutes of afternoon prayer, we heard more explosions. There was a first, second, and third explosion. It took some minutes to work out what had happened. Our house was filled with heavy smoke, and we realized that it was actually our house that had been bombed by an Israeli airstrike.
We rushed to the roof only to see the most horrifying scene. All that remained of the elderly man and the seven children that were playing were pieces of flesh and bone. At least three had their heads blown off. I looked over the martyred children. Two of my daughters were among the victims. One had survived. She had a hole in the back of her skull. Another girl was also alive, but couldn't talk. I called her and she looked up at me, so I rushed them to the hospital.
I searched around to collect my children. First I took Abd al-Halim, then I went back inside and got Abd al-Aziz. His head had been split open. I couldn't remove my third daughter. I couldn't find her head. Then I came downstairs and stood here at the doorstep. They took away the bodies of the martyrs in ambulances. I wanted to see whether they took the body of my daughter or not. I found my niece Malik, the daughter of Jalal. I kissed her forehead and I was about to leave with the ambulance. As I was stepping out of the ambulance, a rocket from an unmanned drone hit us. My leg was hit and had to be amputated. This finger and my arm were injured too. It was a cruel airstrike. In all, there were 10 martyrs from my family, including seven children, my parents, my brother and his daughter, and my cousin who was carrying the bodies of martyrs at the time he was hit.
After the disproportionate aggression on the population of Gaza, there are still survivors today who suffer heightened psychological effects, reflected clearly in their behavior, which is especially telling during play activities such as painting that express the evil acts that Israel perpetrated against them.
Usually after the therapy process and even after recovery, there will still be some trauma symptoms among the affected children, with most of them on edge in high alert mode expecting more attacks on them. That's why you find that whenever a child is playing or drawing, the played out theme tends to represent the incident which is causing the alerted state from their memories, from their nightmares. When we spoke to children aged around 12 who survived the last three wars, who witnessed and suffered trauma from the 2008 Israeli-imposed war and this one in 2014, after recovering from each war and after being treated, they still believe that there would be another war and another. Three wars lived through by a child. The trauma is unimaginable, and the child is left in a state of constant alertness. We can't even tell them that they are safe, that there will be no more wars, or that everything is now fine.
Whenever they unleash a war on us, we will resist and defeat them.
It is beyond any reasonable doubt that targeting children of Palestine is part of the culture and a systematic issue of the Israeli occupation army, which seeks to brand the conscious mind of all Palestinian children with the ideology that they are all the undeserved, the subhuman, that there can be no Palestinian flag, no independence, no resistance. Thank you.
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The Palestinian ambassador to the United Nations, Riyad Mansour, has angrily charged Israel with carrying out the deadly attack on the Al-Ahli hospital in central Gaza, calling Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu a liar for blaming the strike on the Palestinian Islamic Jihad resistance group. We have taken a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The English website of the Al Jazeera television has covered the story and tells us more. Experts express doubt over the authenticity of an intercepted audio recording released by Israel, purporting to show two Hamas fighters putting the blame for the Al-Ahli Baptist Hospital attack on the Palestinian Islamic Jihad resistance group. Palestinian authorities announced hundreds of people were martyred in the blast that was caused by an Israeli air raid. The Zionist regime claims the explosion was a result of a rocket launched by the Palestinian Islamic Jihad resistance group. The rocket misfired. The Palestinian Islamic Jihad has rejected the allegation. In an investigation into the bombing published by Britain's Channel 4 News, the broadcaster said the two independent Arab journalists had deduced that the language used in the recording, as well as the accent, syntax and tone, led them to believe that the recording was not authentic. The investigation pointed out the contradictory information put forward by the Israelis. For example, in the recent Israeli presentation, two different locations were given for the alleged Islamic Jihad rocket's launch site. On Wednesday, 18th of October, Hamas refuted any allegations associating them with the bombing of the hospital and said there is conclusive evidence that the Israeli occupation committed this crime. Since the start of this war, the occupation has not distinguished between civilian and military targets and has bombed emergency services, ambulances, and the civil defense. It also states, before and after the bombing of the hospital, resistance fighters did not fire any missile towards the occupied territories. The occupation forces' warning sirens did not sound, and the Iron Dome did not sound. The occupation claims this was carried out by the resistance fighters, but how could they distinguish the missiles immediately after they launched? It added, "It is known that the resistance missiles are homemade and do not have the destructive power that kills hundreds of people at once." Throughout the history of previous confrontations and this one, no resistance missile has caused losses amounting to what this massacre caused. The statement also said that video footage of the moment the hospital was bombed shows direct evidence that Israel was responsible for it because it matches the flames, sound and explosion that Israel committed throughout the past days of aggression, which proves that the missile was Israeli. The Palestinian Health Ministry said in a statement, "The Al-Ahli hospital was sheltering thousands of displaced people when it was bombed on Tuesday, 17th of October. Earlier, Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh said the U.S. is responsible for the hospital attack because of the cover it gives to the Israeli aggression. website of Middle East Eye has also covered the same story and tells us more. Riyad Mansour, the Palestinian ambassador to the United Nations, said Israel has denied its bombing of Gaza's Al-Ahli Arab Hospital, which martyred at least 500 people and wounded hundreds of others. In a speech to the United Nations Security Council, Riyad Mansour said Israel denied its responsibility for the massacre like it did with the Al Jazeera journalist Shireen Abu Akleh. It blamed the Palestinians for their own death. Following the news that the US vetoed the resolution that would have paved the way for a humanitarian pause of the war, he said, "This is the kind of war where you know how it starts, but you have no clue how it ends. It should be stopped immediately." Meanwhile, Mustafa Barghouti, leader of the Palestinian National Initiative, stated that the Israeli military is sharing misleading disinformation regarding the explosion on the Al-Ahli Baptist Hospital in Gaza. Mustafa Barghouti is a former minister in a Palestinian unity government and a prominent and unaligned activist for Palestinian rights. He added, "The Israeli military has a consistent track record of lying on many occasions regarding its crimes," saying it has changed its official narrative several times in order to avoid culpability. Mustafa Barghouti said the Israelis had already threatened the hospital with evacuation, but the staff refused to leave because it was impossible to transfer critical patients without them dying. Barghouti added, "The World Health Organization, the WHO, has said moving them would be a death sentence." In a statement on Saturday, 14th of October, the World Health Organization said it strongly condemns Israel's repeated orders for the evacuation of 22 hospitals treating more than 2,000 inpatients in northern Gaza. The forced evacuation of patients and healthcare workers will further worsen the humanitarian and public health catastrophe unfolding in Gaza. Iran's Fars news agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. Palestinian ambassador to the United Nations Riyad Mansour angrily charged Israel with carrying out a deadly attack at the Al-Ahli hospital in central Gaza, calling the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu a liar for blaming the strike on the Palestinian Islamic Jihad resistance group. Riyad Mansour said during a press conference at the United Nations headquarters, "Now they changed the story to try to blame the Palestinians, but it's a lie. Netanyahu is a liar." His digital spokesperson tweeted that Israel did the hit thinking that there is, around this hospital, a base for Hamas, and then he deleted that tweet. Tal Heinrich, a spokesperson for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, told CNN on Tuesday, 17th of October, that Israeli forces do not target hospitals, claiming, "We only target Hamas strongholds and arms depots." Riyad Mansour added, "They're responsible for that crime and they cannot fabricate stories to deal with it." Mansour pointed out that a spokesman for the Israeli military previously suggested that hospitals could be possible targets of Israeli aggression and should be evacuated. The Palestinian Islamic Jihad resistance group has also denounced Israel's accusations that it was responsible